This week on Making Contact.
I think about the people who are going to strap Michael Morales down in that chamber tonight and inject him with poison and then have to go home to their families as if it was just another day at the office.
Opposition to the death penalty comes in many forms, but few individuals express their opposition as fervently as a group of California religious leaders who walk, rain or shine, 25 miles for every state-held execution. This time, for Michael Morales and Terry Winchell. Morales was convicted of raping and murdering 18-year-old Winchell in 1983.
It imprints my commitment to ending the death penalty into the soles of my feet, as well as into my heart.
On this edition, Making Contact, Sarah Olson takes us on this 25-mile journey on a cool, sunny day in February. I'm Tina Rubio, your host on Making Contact, a program connecting people, vital ideas, and important information. The walk begins near the Presidio in San Francisco, crossing over the Golden Gate Bridge, winding through Marin County, and ending up at the gates of San Quentin Prison. It's a walk of protest, peace, and compassion.
Let's, before we start, observe a moment of silence, say a prayer, whatever your need is, and to remember Terry Winchell and Michael Morales and all the people on death row, all the victims of violence, both prisoners and victims out on the street. And let us dedicate this walk to saving lives. We got about 2 minutes, so let me introduce myself. I'm Lyle Grosjean. My only real distinction is that I've walked every time since 1959. And I'm becoming more and more distinguished as time goes on. We thought we had abolished the death penalty in the 70s, and we took a rest for a while, for which we thank God, but then it started up in 92, and I'm a retired Episcopal priest from the Diocese of California, which is the Bay Area. I was ordained in 1965, and I'm 72 years old. I walked this walk from San Francisco to San Quentin in 1959, for Carol Chessman, and then twice more in 1960 before he was executed. And I've been against the death penalty as long as I can remember. I've always felt that I needed to do something, so I've done lobbying, and I've done letter writing, and I've done other things, but this has been the one thing that I've sustained since 1959, of doing this walk on the eve of each execution. I've not been able to exactly count the number, but it's about 30 times. I know that there was 1 year with 11 and 2 years with 9. And then there have been about 15 since 1992.
It's a lot of walking.
A lot of walking. And some of the walks have been just three or four people. And a couple of times, too. All right, let's start. Mark will lead off and set the pace. Follow him down, straight down the thing, and then along the path on the other side of the street.
My name is Mark Mitchell. I'm a poet and a writer and a wine merchant and a Buddhist practitioner. I went to the vigil for Robert Alton Harris. I went on the ACLU bus. And the vigil was crowded and tearful and, to a certain extent, self-congratulatory, which activists tend to be. And I thought, well, that's all right. And then I got a letter about the walk from Lyle. Death Penalty Focus gave them their mailing list. And so I thought, no, I think I should do something hard, something difficult. My state is about to do something I deeply, deeply disapprove of, I can't just say I'm against it, get on a bus, and hang out with a bunch of like-minded people for a while. This, at least the people who see us today know or are made aware of or reminded of the fact that their state is about to kill somebody in order to make them safer, which it does not. I find it unconscionable to force someone like me, someone like many people I know, to be complicit in a state-sponsored, cold-blooded murder. I feel morally tainted by this. Bad guys plan to kill people in cold blood with great deliberation. Good guys don't do that. At least that's how it used to go in the cowboy movies. And the state of California is behaving like the bad guys by putting the entire weight of the state into a cold and calculated extinction of a human life. Usually the bridge is the coldest section of the walk because, of course, there's no shelter and water on all sides, but it is also stunningly beautiful, and it's a good time to practice walking meditation.
The Golden Gate Bridge is really spectacular. Not just the structure, but the setting. It's so devastatingly beautiful. My name is Denis Paul, and I live in El Cerrito, and I'm a student at Star King School for the Ministry, which is a Unitarian Universalist seminary that's part of the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley. When I first moved to California, it was so shocking that I was now living in a place that was supposed to be more liberal than where I came from. And the state was killing people. And the first, I don't know, three or four executions that I was living in California for, I just couldn't function. I literally just couldn't function that day. And when I started doing these walks, this is, I don't know, my seventh or eighth walk now, I've lost count. The bridge started to have very different meaning for me. And for me, it becomes the most contemplative, prayerful time of the walk. So what I've taken to doing is just kind of going through a litany in my mind, in a state of prayer, of all the people who are affected by this. So this morning I prayed not only for Michael Morales, because remarkably he's a really small part of this for me, but praying for Terry Winchell, the woman who was murdered, and praying for her mother. And my heart breaks for her. My heart breaks for this young woman who was bludgeoned. And I think about the people who are going to strap Michael Morales down in that chamber tonight and inject him with poison and then have to go home to their families as if it was just another day at the office. I've spoken with several people who've had loved ones murdered. And, you know, they had to seek forgiveness, they had to seek acceptance on their own. It wasn't provided to them by the state in this tidy little system, because the system isn't set up to take care of victims, and it's not set up to take care of the survivors of victims. It's set up to seek vengeance on people who've committed crimes. And I've had people say to me, how could you visit a monster in prison like that? Well, you know what? He's a regular guy. He's a regular guy who got caught up in some awful, awful stuff when he was young. And for the rest of his life, until the day that the state injects him with poison, his whole life is going to be defined by that one moment. So I think it's kind of an interesting metaphor to be crossing this bridge in this place of such privilege. I mean, to be going from Seacliff to Marin County. so white, so wealthy. And, you know, tonight, just another brown guy who killed a white woman is going to get killed in our names to protect that kind of privilege.
Because this is something that's done by the state on all of our behalf, it makes us all executioners, and which makes us all killers. And so what's to keep us from killing again? My name is Kathy McAdams. I'm an Episcopal priest in San Francisco. And I started doing the anti-death penalty walks in December because I was particularly interested in the Tukey Williams case. And my interest there came out of having had an African-American foster daughter and learning a little bit about what goes on in the projects and gangs and things like that. And I just felt like, you know, here we were wasting this life of this man that was trying to do something about some of those issues and a voice that kids were actually listening to. And so I was interested in that particular case, but then when I started walking and meeting people that do these walks all the time, I realized that this is really a larger issue that I need to be working on. And I think what it comes down to for me is just that, you know, life is a sacred gift from God. And when we choose to act out of vengeance to kill someone because they might have killed someone else, then we're rejecting that gift and we're just perpetuating violence. And so that's why I've continued to come out and walk. It's my third time.
What about the family at the burial?
We walk for the victims as well. I mean, there's so many people hurt by the way we're dealing with punishment in our prison system, and I think the victims and their families are hurt just as much by it. We are on a bike path just exiting Sausalito on the way to Mill Valley, where we're going to meet up with the Mill Valley seniors for their weekly rally. And I guess I don't know how many miles we've gone. We're probably about a third of the way or something.
From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. Welcome all of our friends from San Francisco and elsewhere.
My name is Mary Lindauer. And I'm 86 years old, and I moved here to the Redwoods when I could no longer stay in my home.
My name is Warren Ute, and I'm 81 years old. But I served in World War II as a conscientious objector. I was in CPS camp for 2.5 years, which is civilian public service. Surveyed all over the far west.
I'm Kathleen Berge, and I'm 90 years old, and I'm here today with a empathetic group of believers in peace and justice for all. We're of the same frame of mind that execution and legal death is not the way to take care of both conflict and misdemeanor.
This group is a tremendous group. Our average age is 86. There's 88 of us, maybe close to 90 pretty soon. But so peace has been something that I've been involved in all my life.
I think it's part of a family tradition. My family has been opposed to oppression. We're Koreans, and my family lived in Korea. I was born in Korea, as a matter of fact, and lived under the oppression of the Japanese rulers in Korea. So it comes sort of naturally, I think, you know.
I worked with the Red Cross during World War II, and working with combat flyers and seeing the killing and the killed, that was part of what changed my life and where I really became absolutely passionate about the whole idea of having to find something different than violence.
How do you relate opposing the war in Iraq to opposing executions?
Well, it's all part of the same pattern, isn't it? You know, killing, one way or another, is killing. When you kill wholesale or kill, execute people individually, it's all killing. And I'm opposed to that.
The potential for change is in us all. We're all children of the same God.
We'll have more about the walk to abolish the death penalty in a few moments. You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. If you'd like more information or for CD copies of this program, please call 800-529-5736. You can also download programs or get our podcasts at radioproject.org.
Traffic passing by very fast, and the only signs that they'll be able to read are the ones with the biggest letters. So get one of the better signs, the more legible signs, and then while we go down the freeway, hold them up so that people can see them.
These kinds of things really thrive when the majority of people choose not to see it, you know? So if we stop and think about it, and stop and really look at what's going on, then we can see it and say, you know, this isn't exactly the kind of world I want to live in. I'm Christopher Krethman. I'm a Unitarian Universalist minister. I'm 29 years old. I think for me, a lot of my purpose in ministry period, or a lot of what I think the point of religious leadership, especially now, is to mobilize people to counter systems of oppression and subjugation. And for me, one of the reasons I came a couple times ago and have kept coming every time since was basically that the criminal justice system right now in the country, I think, is one of the clearest and most flagrant places of classism and racism, and one of the most deeply embedded, institutionalized forms of it. But we're surrounded by green rolling hills on one side, and what, quaint-ish country houses on the other side. It's one of these places that doesn't quite feel like the Bay Area. You could see cows ranging around. It's really pretty. One of the biggest things, and for me, one of the most compelling, you know, wrestling points for me around this whole thing is, you know, the really deeply bad, evil things that some people do, you know what I mean? It's hard. You know, today we're marching. 17, 18-year-old girl was the victim here, you know? I mean, that's soul-stripping stuff, losing a child. And I don't think the kind of healing that I've seen as a minister has not been fed by vengeance. I don't think that's the kind of healing that's really going to make a difference in the long run with people. You know, if you kill one person, all of the conditions in the system that help create that person still exist. So we'll create other murderers, we'll create other rapists, unless we start addressing the whole thing.
My name is Ruth Inero, and I'm from the Modesto area, Central California, and I'm the mother of four boys, and I'm just concerned about the level of violence in our society. I'm a rape survivor, and so I know what violence is as a victim, and I know that the best way to decrease violence is to just to stop. You have to stop the cycle someplace, and that's exactly how I felt about the perpetrator for my rape. The part that I really notice is that here we're involving a medical person who has taken the ethical code of first doing no harm and making him the guy that works hard at bumping this guy off. And so the goal in this particular execution is to have a medical person present to make sure he's good and unconscious before they continue with the execution. You know, it's not an issue of killing the person more gently. If we had killed Terry Winchell gently, would people be happier about that? No. Killing human beings is wrong. So it doesn't benefit California at a time when we're wondering where the money's going to be coming from to have three executions in a row, leaving still 650 or so men and women on California death row. If we execute one a day for the next 2 years, we get a fresh start, I suppose. But, you know, is that really what we want to do? Is that really how we want to handle the crimes and the violence in our society?
I just wanted to say thank you for doing this walk and continuing to show up. I see a lot of familiar faces from this event, which is becoming, sadly, really very frequent. So thank you, and know that you'll have a place of hospitality here for as long as the state of California continues to do this. Blessings on your way out to San Quentin, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
I'm Christopher Martin, the Reverend Christopher Martin. I'm the rector of St. Paul's. I've been here about a year and a half, and I've just been, you know, proud to continue the tradition of St. Paul's being a sanctuary to the death penalty abolition movement and continuing hosting the walkers every time that there's an execution.
I'm Chuck Carlson. I am a member of St. Paul's Church, but I came here because of the death penalty. I witnessed an execution in 1998 of a very good friend of mine, Tom Thompson, and St. Paul's kind of opened its doors to me, so I've been connected in one way or the other ever since. I really couldn't talk about it for 2 years, or actually more than that. It's a very intense experience.
I'm Joan Peterson, and I have a San Quentin prison ministry here at St. Paul's. I visit a death row inmate every week. Well, I visit just one gentleman, and I've been doing this for about 9 years. I've been visiting him. I think you realize for the first time that these people are human beings. They're not monsters in cages. They're just human beings who have made a very big mistake sometime in their lives.
People don't understand the damage that this thing does. And they don't look at the family members of the condemned as entities at all. And you just don't think about it. But it causes tremendous damage there. Causes tremendous damage to the guards. A number of guards were very good friends of Tom's. And they were some of them were sobbing the day of the execution. Some of them said, I can't drive across the Richmond Bridge and see San Quentin without feeling like thrown up. I think people just narrow it down to the eye for the eye, the murder victim and the murderer, and that's sort of all there is.
Well, we've been at it for about 11 hours now. It's coming up on 6 o'clock, and we're walking down the main street of San Quentin Village, heading toward the prison. It's dusk, and the sky is just barely orange above the hills to the west. And to our left is the bay, the San Francisco Bay, and the seagulls are over the water. And it's eerily quiet in this neighborhood.
So we're just coming up on the gates very soon. And we come to a circle in the very end, and Lyle, who you've heard, leads us in a moment of prayer, and then we wait.
Okay, walkers, can we get in a circle? Those of you walk, come on. Well, I want to welcome you to San Quentin. Somebody just said, this is a nice little town. I give thanks for each one of you who walked. I give thanks for the life that we are trying to save and the other lives that could be saved. I give thanks for a world in which there are committed people who are committed to nonviolence and to peace. May everyone who gathers here tonight have their hearts moved and changed by this event. And we ask this in the name of all that is holy, and all that is strong, and all that overcomes. Amen.
Do we want the death penalty in California?
No!
Do we want the death penalty in California?
We say,
they say death row!
We say hell no!
They say death row!
We're looking at San Quentin Prison, and we're back about, I don't know, 100 feet maybe, because there's a barrier here, so we can see the prison, but we can't go up to the gates of the prison. It's such a beautiful walk, quite apart from the issue, that I think of ways of organizing my own life better to make every day count.
I'm tired, and I'm sad, and I'm always tired and sad. 15 times I've done this. 15 times it's always walking to a tragedy. But it imprints my commitment to ending the death penalty into the soles of my feet, as well as into my heart.
As the California, the United States, continues on this march of death, the rest of the world continues to eliminate the death penalty.
Again, Natasha Minsker of the ACLU has a statement.
It has been announced that the execution will be delayed by 1 hour. The news is a little sketchy, but I'll tell you what I know. The warden just had a press conference in which he told the press that he is uncomfortable with the, quote, new members of the execution team, the new members being the anesthesiologist. They say that they are going to do another hour of training with their new members and then proceed. We know that the attorneys are also moving to stop the execution and are going back to court right now.
California prison officials have called off the scheduled execution of convicted murderer and rapist Michael Morales. The move leaves California's execution process in limbo and will lead to the first court hearing in the nation over the constitutionality of execution by lethal injection.
California death row inmate Michael Morales was set to be executed early this morning for a rape and murder conviction dating back to 1983.
California's execution of convicted murderer Michael Morales has been called off for the second time in 24 hours after a whirlwind of activity that has included objections from doctors and nurses and questions over whether the lethal injection process is inhumane.
And that's it for this edition of Making Contact. Special thanks to Dan Turner, Ronald Rucker, Catherine Nelson, Yasuyo Nagata, and Akila Bridgeford. Making Contact is an independent production funded primarily by generous gifts from people in the community. For a CD copy of program number 1806, call the National Radio Project at 800-529-5736 or go to radioproject.org. Lisa Rudman is our executive director, Justin Beck, producer, Dorian Taylor, communications manager, Esther Mania, outreach coordinator, Tom Evans, development associate, Stefana Petrova, and Alina Potts, production interns. And I'm Tina Rubio. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.